And we're holding on page Tess in Yerushalmi Brachos, second line, middle of Oistop Zayin. Talking about the importance of learning Torah constantly, like Moshe says, Amar Ishlokish, the Megillah Storim Motsu Kosu, they found written in Megillah Storim, which means a hidden Megillah. This is when Torah Shabbat wasn't met, when Torah Shabbat Peh, rather, wasn't supposed to be written down yet. So therefore, so people were allowed to keep private notes of things, but they weren't allowed to publish them. So therefore, such things were called the Megillah Storim. There's a footnote over here saying that a different girsa is the Megillah Chassidim in a Megillah of statements that are addressed to Chassidim specifically. Anyway, the expression is Yoim Tazveni Yoimayim Ezveka. If you abandon me, this is the Torah speaking, personified, if you abandon me for one day, then I will abandon you for 2 days. In other words, it's much harder to make up for the lost time. And it's a mashal, lebeis shayotzu. It's a mashal like two people who left town. Echad mitzveria ve'echad mitzipori. One left Tveria and one left Tzipori, which are a few miles apart. Upogu zeb zeb chodem mashkina. And then they met in the same inn. Lohi spiku lifrish zemizeh. Then before they had a chance to leave one another. Ad shaholach zemil v'zemil. Each one is going. Each one is continuing in his direction. So each one has gone a mil in his direction. Nimtzu rechoykin nimtzu rechoykin zemizesh shtei milin. Now in total, they're 2 mil away from each other because each one has walked a mil. So the same way, in other words, so to speak, when a person goes away from Torah, meanwhile the Torah is also moving in the opposite direction from him, so therefore he winds up twice as far as he otherwise would have, and therefore it takes tremendous effort to overcome that. Hakosev points out that the nimshal is, in other words, that the expression of the pasuk is Yohiv Chochma Sol Hakim, and Hashem gives Chochma to the wise, so implying to people who want the wisdom of Torah. But if they themselves aren't interested in it, then Hashem also distances it from them, and therefore we can talk about there's a distancing because of the Makabel, and another one because of the Mashpia Hashem, and therefore in that sense they wind up twice as far as before. And another moshel, le'isha shosi yeshevas montenis le'ish, consider a moshel of a woman who's sitting and waiting to get married to a man, to a certain man, calls man shohi v'dayti le'inosila, as long as he still has in mind that he's going to marry her, shosi yeshevas montenis le'ish, then good, she's sitting and waiting, and eventually he'll propose to her. Kevin shehiflik dayti l'imena, but then eventually he takes away his mind from her. He's thinking to himself, I'm not going to bother marrying her anymore. He hocham and this is la'acher. Then she goes and marries somebody else, and then that's it. Then she's gone from him. The nimshal being, in other words, Etz Yosef says that when a person is masiach das from Torah, so fine, the Torah will go find somebody else who appreciates it more, and that other person will become wiser in it, representing in the mashal, like this other guy ends up, is the lucky guy who ends up with this woman, where the first one could have had her if he had only put in the effort. Masechta Peah Perikushin. So, beginning the first Mishnah Masechta Peah, we learned it before in the Mishnayos section, was Eru Dvarim Sheimam Shira Peah Vamikorim, etc. And then Eru Dvarim Cha'odem Eichel Perisayin. All of these are the things that a person eats, the fruit of it, the dividends of it in this world, and the keren, the primary schar is left for Olam Haba, and among them are Kibud Avraham Gnos Chasad. So now the Gemara is going to go through and discuss those in detail. The first question is, the first thing is a statement. We know that both tzedakah and gemilas chasadim are equal to all the other mitzvahs. Etz Yosef refers to a gemara in Baba Basra that says that tzedakah is called mitzvois in the plural. They have manu alenu mitzvois, and the pasuk talks about that they're going to give tzedakah. So therefore, and gemilas chasadim, as the gemara is going to say on, as the gemara is going to go on to say over here, is greater in a way than tzedakah. So therefore, counts equal to all the mitzvahs. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Maria, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, einu niyodim ez mehem chaviv oit tzedakah or gemilas chasadim. Still though, from that alone, we wouldn't know which one is greater, tzedakah or gemilas chasadim. Maybe they're both equal. The pasuk says the chesed of Hashem is from ever to ever on those, from world to world on those who fear Him. It's tzedakah l'nevonim, and its tzedakah is for grandchildren. So we see, in other words, that the chesed is described as ma'olam v'ad olam, forever, and the tzedakah is described only as l'nevonim, Meaning that's only for three generations. Hader Amra, then that teaches us that Gemilas Chasadim is greater than Tzedakah. And the Gemara Bavli, and I think in Baba Basra, explains the reason behind it, because Tzedakah is financially. A person gives money to a poor person. Gemilas Chasadim is begufay, and therefore it's a much greater thing. Okay, the Talmud Torah. We said one of the things that a person gets paid a say in Ba'olam Hazeh is the Talmud Torah connected Kulan. So let's talk about that. And we'll see you have in the earlier part of the Mishnah that Eved Dvarim Chein Lam Shir, one of them is the Talmud Torah. So Shalurus Rav Yeshua, Maushi Lamed Odom Espinai Chochmas Yevonis. Is a person allowed to teach his son Chochmas Yevonis? Now, Chochmas Yevonis can mean partially Greek science and Greek wisdom. It can also mean, sometimes in the Gemara, it means that you have, for example, in the story with the seed with Hyrcanus and Aristobulus that's told in a few places in Shas, where it seems to mean a kind of secret code language that the Greek intelligentsia knew how to use to be able to signal to each other without using words and without other people understanding them. So which kind of Chochmas Yevonis he means over here could be either one. Eitz Yosef brings over here a different girsa, Loshin Yevones Hamakadoni. So we're not even talking about the Chochma of the Greeks, but Poshet the language. So is a person allowed to teach a son? Amalahem. So Rabbi Yeshua answers them, Yolamdenu B'Shah She'ena Lo Yom B'Lo Laila. When are you going to be able to teach it to him? Is only at a time when it's neither day nor night. After all, the pasuk says you have to be learning Torah day and night. So therefore, you don't have time for Chochmas Yevonis unless you find a time which is neither day nor night. So the Gemara asks, by that logic, would you say that a person is not allowed to teach his son a trade or a craft to make a living? Begin to chtiv v'agisev v'yom v'layla, because the same pasuk says you should be delving into Torah day and night. V'hatani Rabbi Shmuel, but doesn't Rabbi Shmuel teach us that when it says v'char to b'chayim zu umnus, that when the pasuk says you should choose life, then it means that you have to learn a trade, you have to learn a craft, a way to make a living. So we see that even though Rav Gisav Yom V'Layla, then still Rabbi Shmuel says that you have to carve out time for that. You have the Bavli and Brachos that mentions also Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that we talked about yesterday. Since it says Yosafta Divanecha V'Sirosh Chavitarecha, that implies that you have to do your own form work, even if that cuts into your time for learning. So what is it? The answer is Rabbah Bred Rabchia Bavva. Rav Chiya, b'shem Rav Yechanan, so Rabba, the son of Rav Chiya Vava, says in the name of Rav Chiya, who in turn says in the name of Rav Yechanan, Mipnei Hamasoros. The real reason why Rav Yeshua did not want people to be learning this Chochmas Yevonis is because then they can use it for Mesira. Once they know this Greek wisdom or language or secret language or what have you, then they can, and also it makes them push it that now they're more in tune with Greek culture and with the Greek Hellenistic way of thinking. Now they're more likely to be able to use that to master on their fellow Jews, and that's the real reason why Rabbi Yeshua discouraged that. Not because of he used Vargisa Bayom Valila, so to speak, as an excuse. Because if that were the true reason, then yeah, you wouldn't be able to teach your son Umnus as well. But the real reason is because of the inappropriate closeness that it brings between a Yid and a Goy, which then can lead a Yid to master on his fellow Yid. Chassid Shalom.
The difference between the Greek language and the Greek culture?
So that's what we're saying. What we say over here, Chochmas Yevonis, it can have a few different meanings. It can mean Greek culture and science and literature and whatnot. It can also mean, Eitz Yosef brings a Girsa, that it means Poshit the Greek language. So it really depends. I mean, for example, the Gemara goes on to mention, it's not here in Ein Yaakov, but the Gemara goes on to mention that Rabbi Bohu quoted in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that a person is allowed to teach his daughters at least Greek. And then one of the other Chachamim, I think Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, makes fun of that and says Rabbi Bohu must have made that up because Rabbi Yechanan never said any such thing. So you have different opinions on the subject. But yeah, it's not so simple to be teaching kids Lamud Echol. We know, I mean, closer to our times, for example, when the Friedrich Rebbe came to America and Tenth Tzimimim was established over here, it had Lamud Echol because Poshet, nobody would send their kids there otherwise. And it's important that they should have some kind of chinuch. Later on, we know that our Rebbe was very much in favor of that there should be the Limud al Taras HaKodesh, and Rabbi Chol Teitelbaum, and then Yisrael Ron, and then Yossel Rosenfeld, Alei Mashalim, and so forth, work together to tackle build up such a school, because that really is the way it should be. Yeah.
Okay. A Sefer Torah written in Greek is kosher.
A Sefer Torah written in Greek is kosher. That's a separate matter because Yafta, the king of Yafes, and Yaf Yafus, Tro Yafes, yeah. Okay. Kibur Devrei. So now let's talk about that. He said that that's also one of the things that, that's one of the things that Oichol Peres saying by the Mazeb, Akirin Kenes and Lava. So let's talk about that. Rabba Bol B'Shem Rav Yechon. Sholeres Rabba Lazar. They asked Rabba Lazar, Ad Heichon Hu Kibur Avraim. How far does the mitzvah of Kibur Avraim go? Omalahem, so he answers them, Beliath and Sherilin, you're asking me, I'll give you somebody to ask from. Luchuv Shalaris Doma ben Nisina. Go ask Doma ben Nisina, who was a goy. He's mentioned also, the Bavli tells these stories in Kedushin as well. So Doma ben Nisina, Rosh Patochuli Hoya, he was the head of the Patochuli, or in the printed Yerushalmi, it said Patabuli, it means something like the local council of noblemen. Translates it as the head of the army unit in that area. Whatever the case, he was a very high ranking guy. One time, his mother came and slapped him in front of all these noblemen that he's sitting together with. The Nofakudakin Shalomiyoda, and then her slipper fell out of her hand. Ashes, in other words, she had taken off her slipper and she was slapping him with it. And he handed it back to her so she doesn't feel bad. So even though she's humiliating him in such a terrible way in front of all these choshev people, he still continued to honor her. But by the pashtus, I guess we would say she probably was mentally ill, but who knows? You know, maybe she had something against him. So the Gemara continues. Amr Pchizkiya, Nochri Ashkeloni Haya. This was a guy who lived in the city of Ashkelon. The Rosh Patabrat Buli Haya. And again, he was the head of the local Goyish government council or army unit or whatever Patabrat Buli means. The Evim Shiyoshav Aleha Aviv La Yoshav Aleha Miyaku. Another way that he showed Kibud Avraim, the stone that his father sat on, the Pashtus, by the same meaning, the Dama Ben Nisina, I guess we should assume, inherited this position from his father. So the stone that his father sat on, Lo Yoshev Alei Miyomav, he, Dama Ben Nisina, never sat on that stone. But Kibud Shemes, and then when his father died, also Oisei Yirash Aloi, he turned it into an idol. So like for him, to his Goyish mind, that was the ultimate way of honoring his father. The Maharal, by the way, has a very interesting explanation in Tiferet Yisrael. He goes through the Aseret HaDibros and explains them in great detail. So in Kibud Avraim, he discusses this whole story, all these stories of Dama ben Nisina. He points out the name Dama ben Nisina may not have actually even been the guy's real name. Dama, he says, comes from a Loshen that means he relates it to a word in Aramaic that means a chiyuv, and Nisina means to give. So what is it, he says? The Goyim, many times, we find they're careful with Kibud Avraim. We find Esav was as well. As much as a Russia he was very careful with Kibud Av. Why? Because they understand it's a very logical thing. So therefore, and logical mitzvahs are their style. So therefore, he feels that it's a necessary obligation. I owe everything to my parents. Therefore, he's called Dama. Ben Nisina, and my Seichel gives me the idea that this is the right thing to do, and therefore I do it. So the Gemara continues. Pam achas obde yoshve shal binyamin. One time, the yoshve stone on the choshen, which is the stone of shevet binyamin, got lost. Omru, so there the chachamim are looking around. Man beisle tova dekavasa. Is there anybody who has a good stone like that that we can use to replace the one in the choshen? There's a Tosfos elsewhere, by the way, that points out. I think over there in Kedushin, that points out this Dama ben Nisina must have lived during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, because. The story goes on that there was a Parah Aduma born in his herd, and the Chachamim bought it from him, and during the entire first Beis Hamikdash, they never had to prepare a Parah Aduma. There was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu prepared in the desert, that Elazar shechted and then did the whole thing under Moshe's supervision. And the next one was Ezra Klein at the beginning of the second, Ezra Sofer at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. So necessarily, therefore, this story must have happened sometime during the second Beis Hamikdash. Omru Isla Dama ben Nisina. So they told them, yes, Dama ben Nisina has such a stone. Oslo Magabe, so they went to him to buy it. Uposku ime b'meya dinar. They made up with him that they're going to buy the stone for 100 gold dinar, that is, which the Babli actually tells it for much larger amounts. The Babli mentioned 600,000 or 800,000 dinar. So I guess you could reconcile maybe 100 dinar was their opening bid and then it went up, or maybe whatever the case, anyway. Solik boy Maisavahu, so he went into the house to go and bring it to them. And he found his father was sleeping. The Ista Ami, so some say, so what's the problem? So what? Why does his father sleeping prevent anything? The Ista Ami Machtecha the Tevusa have a Yosef Goyetz Ba'ose Gabri. One version is that his father had the key to the safe between his fingers, and now he pulls it out from his father's fingers or wake him up. The Ista Ami Ragloi Da'avui have a Shita Al Tevusa. The other version is that his father's feet were stretched out on top of the box, on top of the safe. Whatever the case, to open it would wake up his father. Nochas the Gabhoin, so he went back down to them. Om alone, loyachilis, my susalachoin. So he says, I can't bring you the stone. Amrin, so they say to themselves, he's probably trying to bid up the price. Dumahu boy, prite tovan. Maybe he just wants a much larger amount of money. Askuna la masayim. So they bid him up to 200. Askuna la elef, they bid him up to 1,000. And still nothing. Kivin de Itar, Abu Mishinte, once his father woke up from his sleep, solidified Susa Lahain, then he went up and brought down the stone for them. Bo and Maisun like Kipiskule Achraya, so they wanted to give him the final amount that they had bid, the 1,000. Vole Kabul Aloy, and Dhamma did not want to accept that amount of money. Omar, he says, Ma'ana Mazgan Machon Yakota Daba Osi Bukriti. What do you think? I'm going to sell the cover to my father for money? I'm not going to have any hana from, I'm not going to have any extra hana from the amount from as a result of the cover to my father. Ma Porolai Akarish Baruch Huskar. So how did Hashem pay him back? Omar of Yosi Berabun. Boy Balayla Yolda Porose Paradruma. That night, his cow gave birth to a Paradruma. And they needed it. So the Jewish people paid him the cow's weight in gold, and they bought it from him that way. There's an interesting point, by the way, that a couple of veritlach, they say, of why it is, why of all things, that Hashem paid back for the Torah Adrum. And so one reason is based on this idea that the Maharal was saying that Kibbud Avraham is a very sichliistic mitzvah, and therefore a goy like Dama ben Nisina is going to specialize in it. Well, Parah Adruma is the opposite. It's the least sichliistic mitzvah. It's the ultimate chuk. So therefore, so Hashem is showing, well, Dama may be a shining example of Kibbud Avraham, of mitzvah sichliist, but is he going to be willing to say the same thing, that I'm not going to take money for a mitzvah chukis? No. Instead, the Jewish people are going to outshine him, that they're willing to pay an enormous amount of money for that. The Maharal over there also points out there is a certain connection between them. We find that both Kibbud Avraham and Parah Adruma were among the dinim that were given in Mara. So there is actually a direct connection between one and the other. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Omer of Shabsek, Siv, Mishpat, Veroiv, Tzedakah, Lo Yachna. The Pasuk says, judgment and great Tzedakah, Hashem does not, literally, Lo Yachna means doesn't answer, but the Gemara is darshining over here, Lo Yachna, Malashin, Inu Yadim, like to delay it. Meaning, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Masha Matan Schoran Shal Oitzen Mitzvahs Bezorim. Hashem never holds back and never delays the reward for the mitzvahs that Zorim, that strangers do, meaning Goyim do. Hashem pays them right away. So that is why he had that night already. He has the Parah Adruma in his herd rather than waiting any longer. And the idea is, again, because, you know, they get their schar in this world, and there's nothing left for Olam Haba. So as opposed to us Jews, the Eibishter holds back the reward for a while in order to increase the schar for later on. There's also the point that there's a Rashi in Parshas Toldos that discussing the point that when a goy davens to Hashem for something, then Hashem tends to listen to him right away, because otherwise the goy is going to say, oh, Hashem has no more power than the various other getchkes, chas v'shalom. Whereas for a yid, the yid is not going to think that way, and therefore the Eibishter can wait before answering his tefillah. So it's a similar idea. Okay, more on the topic of Kibbud Avraham. The mother of Reb Tarfin one time went to walk around in her courtyard on Shabbos. The nifset kudikyus inshallah, and one of her slippers broke. Kudikyusin is a type of slipper or shoe or something. So Reb Tarfin went and put his two hands under her foot. Of a hoisama alechas aleh, and she's walking over there with his hands cushioning her foot. Adchi gilamitasa until she got back to her bed. Pamachascholah. So now one time, Reb Tarfin wasn't feeling well. The nichnas of chachamim levakrei. The chachamim came to visit him. Omer lahem, she says to them, "Ispalo, Reb Tarfin me, shu noy be covered yosmigai. please daven from, regarding my son, Reb Tarfon, that he does tremendous covered for me, more than he should be expected to do. So they asked her, what did he do? The Tanya Slahin Ugra. So she told them the story. Omrullah, they told her, Afilo Oisakain Elef Alofim, even if he does that thousands of thousands or millions of times, Adain Machatsi Kovid, Shamra Torah Lahigia, he still hasn't even reached half of what the Torah says that a person has to do as far as Kibbud Avein. There's a vote on that, but they say there's a Siddush of vote that why would the Chachamim be saying such a thing? Why are they putting down this Kibbud Avein? The vote is because Reb Tarfon, we know every yid has their particular mitzvah, which is negeya more to their neshama than any other. This is the expression you have in Chassidus that it quotes from the Gemara of Ruchav Mai, have his Zohar Tvei, which particular mitzvah does your neshama shine with more than others. The Chum realized for Reb Tarfon that is the mitzvah of Kibbud Avein. So when his mother is praising how much he's doing, then the Chum are concerned, well, maybe he's completed his whole avodah in that, and then there's no reason for him to live anymore. So therefore, they're putting it down, and he hasn't reached half of what he needs to do, and that way he has much longer to live to be able to continue doing that mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. Imai Shir Rabbi Shmuel bo v'kavlo olav l'Rabbi Seinu. The mother of Rabbi Shmuel one time came and complained about him to the Chacham, to our Rebbes. Omr Lahem, she says to them, Garub Yishmuel b'ni, I want you to rebuke my son Yishmuel, she'ein a noig v'kavad. He's not treating me in a v'kavadik way. Baris Hashan is scarfed and pam shar Rabbi Seinu. The Chachamim's face turned, the Chachamim's faces, Chachamim's faces turned pale. Omru, they turned colors. Omru, they said, Efshar lesser of Yishmael noig before that person. How is it possible of Yishmael, the great Tana, is not treating his parents respectfully? Omru lama obidlach, so they asked her, what does he do to you? Omru, so she says, kidu nofak mi bevada, when he comes out of the Beis Medrash, and he comes home, I want to wash his feet and then drink the water and then drink some of the water that I washed his feet with. But like Shabbatly, and he doesn't want me to do that. Because I'm dead ahead of it. A mother should be washing her son's feet and then humiliating herself like that. But the Chachamim said to Rabbi Shmuel, "Hoy over here at Sina, who kvoda? Listen, if this is what she wants, and this is her covet, so therefore you have to allow her to do that, even though it seems like a grossly disrespectful thing to do, but this is her covet." So Omer Abmana, so Abmana comments on this, Yos even Tchunaya Omer, it's very appropriate, very correct, what these millers say. These millers, I guess the Pashtos are people, since they're busy running a mill all day, they have plenty of time to talk, so they say proverbs. Amrin, they say, Kol Barnash, Barnash, Schuse Goy Kupase. Every individual person has his schus in his basket. In other words, they're using a metaphor from their line of work. Every person, they're millers. So people bring them their grain to grind, and depending on the quality of the grain that each person brings in the basket, is the kind of flour he's going to get at the end. So in other words, in effect, they're saying, and the idea is, in other words, every person has their mazel, sometimes the same kind of thing, where different people can have different kinds of mazel or different kinds of schus from it, depending on their nature. Because you see, you see that Reb Tarfon's mother is saying that he's doing too much kibbud aim, and the Chachamim are saying, yeah, he hasn't reached half of it. And on the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel's mother is saying that he's not respecting me enough, and she wants to do something degrading for him, and the Chachamim are telling Rabbi Shmuel to let her go ahead and do it. So it all depends. Every individual has their own schus and has their own individual mazel, depending on their respective natures. The Gemara continues, Rav Zeira have mitzvah. Rav Zeira used to feel bad about the matter of not being able to do kibbud avein. Halavai, I had a father and a mother that I should be able to give them kibbud. Dinirash Gan Eden, that I should be able to inherit Gan Eden. His parents apparently had passed away many years before. Kad Shama even Tarfon Ufone, but then when he heard these two teachings, the story of Reb Tarfon and the story of Rabbi Shmuel, Omar, he says, you know what? I'm a country, Brich Rachmanad, Lasli Abba Vima. I should thank Hashem that I don't have a father and mother anymore. Loikir Reb Tarfon have Yechilna Ovid. I wouldn't be capable of doing something like Reb Tarfon to put my hands under my mother's foot. But Loikir Rabbi Shmuel, have in him a Kabla Alai. And on the other hand, if I had a mother who wanted to do like Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Shmuel's mother did to him, I wouldn't be able to tolerate it. So therefore, the Eidrish gives every person the appropriate nisayon for them. And the Gemara mentions, Amar of Ovin, Kotur Ani Mekibud Avraim, So Rav Ovin says, I am actually potter from Kibbud Avraim, because Omru, so they said, why is that? Kad Abris le'ime misavoi, when his mother was pregnant with him, his father passed away. Kad Yolidte mat misas, and when she gave birth to him, she passed away. Just like we find by Esther, just like we find by Abaya. So therefore, Rav Ovin never actually had the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbud Avraim. So what's the chiddush then? So it's Yosef points out the chiddush is that you do have now to a certain extent. The Gemara talks about in the Bavli and Kiddushin, and I think the Rishonim also here over here also talks about that you do have to a certain extent a mitzvah of Kibbud Avraim also to your grandparents. But here, where Rav Ovin's parents passed away before when he was born, then really he's potter from the full Kibbud Avraim for them as well. Because the primary reason to have Kibbud Avraim for your grandparents is because of your parents. So like this, where he never knew his parents, then he has less of a chiyuv of that. So that's the chiddush the Gemara is saying. There is a story in that connection, by the way, they tell involving the Chozim Lublin, where one of his Talmidim one time left the Beis Medrash for a while during a break, and while he's home, his mother asks him to do a bunch of heavy jobs around the house. Akitzu, he comes back, figuring he's probably late to the shir, and he finds that there would be times when the Chozim is giving his shir, in the middle he'd get fadveket, when he's dealing with a difficult piece of Gemara, and he'd be sitting over there for a long while thinking it over, and so meanwhile, that was when this Talmud figure, he could slip out and then catch a at home, and meanwhile, like I say, his mother put him to work, his mother being an almana. Anyway, when he comes back, the Chozeh all of a sudden like, comes out of his dveikus and starts explaining the piece of Gemara, and he says to the Talmud that this piece of Gemara that I was bothered by, Abaya is featuring in this Gemara. Now, Abaya goes along with anybody who does Kibbud Avraim, because as the Bavli tells us in Kiddushin, he never had the opportunity to do Kibbud Avraim. So whenever there's somebody who does it, then he joins together with that person to get a little bit of the schus. So now he came along with you back to this Medrash, and while he's here, he explained to me this piece of Gemara, this statement of his that was bothering me. Yeah. What about a step-parent? So there also, I mean, the chiyuv to honor a step-parent is more an outgrowth of the chiyuv to honor your parent. Because you have, so a person has a stepfather, for example, so because he has a chiyuv to honor his mother, therefore he also has a chiyuv to honor his mother's husband. But it's all an outgrowth of, yeah.
Especially if the stepfather
is the one who raised him, then there's the plain matter of Akkadah Sachariv. Anyway, sure, yeah. So the Gemara continues, Yeshu Machalas Ovid Ktumos, you can have an example of a person who feeds his father fattened birds, which is a delicacy, the Yodesh Gehenim, and yet he inherits Gehenim because, as the Gemara is going to say, he gives it to his father in a very degrading and insulting way. The Yeshu Koidne Barachayim, on the other hand, there can be a person who makes his father work hard on millstones. Koidne, it's Yosef, who relates to a word Shifchom Kudenis, which means like a degraded slave woman. So like there can be a son who puts his father to such degrading, hard work, the Yodesh Ganeden, and yet he Yaushin Ganeden. Because he did it for the proper reasons, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. In fact, the Gemara and the Bavli and Kiddushin also brings this point, but without giving the examples. Rashi and Tosfos both refer to our Gemara over here, which supplies the examples. Kate said, Machalos of Ptumas Vyodish Gehenim. You have an example. Chad Bar Nash had a Michael Avoy time of Gurman Ptumin. There was a man who used to give his father to eat fattened chickens, which is a delicacy. So one time the father asks my son, where are you getting all this from? How can you afford this much? So he tells him, Sava, old man, Acholva Odish. Eat and be quiet. Or Hakosef says, Odish can mean chew, Meloshin Daish, like threshing, or Odish can also mean be quiet. The kalvaya ochlin imagine, just like dogs eat and chew or eat and are quiet, the same way don't be asking me things. So nimtza machos of a ptumas v'yosh gehenim. So even though he's feeding his father delicacies, but he insulted him so badly, and therefore for that he gets gehenim. Ketzav kodeh berichayim v'yosh ganeden. On the other hand, how does he make him do a miserable job with millstones and he gets ganeden? Chad banash have atzin berichaya. There was a man whose job was to turn the millstones. Asas tsomis l'tuchunaya. There came a tsomis for the millers. So one possibility is summis can mean a gathering. So it means that there were a bunch of millers were going to go gather together and go and do work for the king. In other words, the king's officers are going around and gathering all the millers and gathering one member of each household to go work and then grind grain for the king. Or the other possibility, the word is not summas, but savas, which means there's a tzivui, there's a command, and there's an order from the king that every family has to supply a miller or whatever. Anyway, Amalei, so he says to his father, Abba, ul t'choin tachtai, Tati, come grind instead of me. So I'll go do the work by the king, and you stay here and grind grain for our family. This way, in motis mavzaya, if it comes out that we're going to get humiliated, if they're going to treat us in a humiliating, undignified way, better that I should have to undergo that rather than you. In motis milki, and if it comes out they wind up whipping a person for not doing his job or whatever. Again, tavli ano, v'loyat, better that I should have to suffer that rather than you. Nimsa koidne berechaim, so it comes out, he's causing his father to do this miserable work of grinding grain for the household, v'yodesh ganeden, but he gets ganeden because he's saving his father from things would have been worse working for the king. The Gemara continues, Tony Rav Shimon Nechoy, Godol hu kibud av v'aim, she'a difo yakadosh bochu yoysim akvoide. Kibud av v'aim is so great that Hashem considers it more important than his own cover. So you have the same word kabed is used both of honoring parents and of honoring Hashem, but by Hashem the expression is kabed es Hashem mehoinecha, from your wealth. Now that means, and we darshan also many times, Chazal darshan a hey and a ches is interchangeable, so it means mimat mechabed, what do you honor Hashem with? Mishiyachonemcha. When Hashem favors you, that you have money, that you have means, then you honor Hashem appropriately. Matish leket shikha peya, so then you have a field and you designate leket shikha and peya for the poor people. Matish truma, maisa rishon, maisa sheni, maisa oni, b'chala, b'isa sukkah, b'lula, b'shoifa, b'titzis, b'tfilim, b'titzis, and mezuzah, u'machal saniyim, v'esareivim, you give tzedakah, and you give food to the hungry, to the poor and to the hungry, or mashkes atzmeim, you give drinks to those who are thirsty, or malbish arumim, and you give clothes to those who don't have clothes, all of those, in yeshlach at chayiv b'choleilu, but only if you have resources, are you chayiv in all those things, v'in ein l'cha, in at chayiv b'achas mehen, if you don't have resources of your own, you're not chayiv in any of those things. Okay, even a poor person, it says, the Gemara brings elsewhere, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, even a poor person does have to give tzedakah. Fine, but not, he'll give a tiny amount of tzedakah, and he'll give a prutta here, a prutta there, or whatever, and eventually it adds up. But called prutta or prutta instead of the chashvan gadol. But all these kinds of things, doing tzedakah, biyad rechava, and doing mitzvahs, biyad rechava, and all these things, and only if a person has money. But when it comes to kibud avayim, there's no such limitation in the pasuk. Whether you have wealth or whether you don't, still the pasuk just says flat out, honor your father and mother, and that means even if it means that you have to go around to the doors to beg. With that said, though, Eitz Yosef brings over here a couple of opinions about from the Rishonim about that. One is that no, it doesn't mean that the son has to then give away all his father's money to support all of his own money to support his father, and then he himself is going to have to go to beg. The fact is, the Gemara explains that the kibud is mishel av. You're obligated to give your father, to help your father with food and clothing and whatnot, but the finances for it come out of the father's own money. You don't necessarily have to give your own. But the point is, in other words, that. Let's say the person is, the son would be working at a job, and instead now, because he has to take care of his parents, he has to quit that job, and therefore, in order to earn money for his own support, he has to go around begging, then even then he should do that. And then he brings from the Yafei Mara that says that no, if a person doesn't have, the taka does have to go and beg for money in order to support his parents. Lamaise in Shulchan Aruch, it says more like the first explanation, that the son is not obligated to actually spend all of his money to support his parents, but on the other hand, if it means that he has to quit his job in order, because he needs to take care of them full time, and therefore the result is that he has to go and beg, then so be it. Obviously, if instead he hires somebody else to take care of them, as is common nowadays, then that's a different matter. Continues the Gemara. Tony Rav Shimon Yochai, Kashem Shematan Schara Shava, just as the reward for the two mitzvahs of Kibbut Av Va'em and Shiluach HaKan is the same. Both of them, the Torah says, that there'll be Arichos Yomim, Kach Puran Nusim Shava. So the punishment for failing to do them is also both the same. My time, or what Pasuk expresses that idea, the Pasuk says, Ayin Tu Agwa Av, the eye that mocks the father, the sovos likas aim, and that mocks or treats lightly the yikas of the mother. The word yikas has a few different meanings. One meaning is the gathering. There's a Rashi, for example, in Bayechi, that it means, for example, the fact that her face is gathered up in wrinkles. She's old. But what we darshan is yikas, meloshin kicha, meloshin taken. Again, the A and the Ches interchange. So it means ayin shel igal kibud av ve'em. So the eye that mocks kibud av ve'em and thinks that it's not an important mitzvah. Or Eitz Yosef points out, you can have, for example, a person who, like, his father is coming and he's supposed to stand up in his honor, and instead he closes his eyes and pretends that he doesn't see him, so he doesn't have to stand up. So that would be, that's why we're attributing it to the eye. The sovos likas ubizas al loisika ha'em al abonim, or when he makes fun of and mocks the mitzvah of loisika ha'em al abonim. So again, Eitz Yosef explains, let's say, now you have, technically, the din of Shiluach HaKan only applies if the mother bird is actually nesting in the nest over there. If, for example, she's flying above the nest, hovering above the nest, then the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan doesn't apply. Then you're allowed to take the babies without sending away the mother. So now the guy pretends, he like closes his eyes and says, like, I didn't see the mother bird sitting over there. So therefore, again, he's using his eyes in the wrong way. So the result is, the pasuk continues in Mishlei, Yikruha Irvein Nachal, the ravens of the valleys should come and pluck out such eyes, which means Yovai Orev Shuach Zori, the raven, which is a symbol of cruelty. We have in many places in Shas where it talks about that the ravens abandon their babies when they're young. And therefore, we say every day in Davening, that the baby ravens cry out to Hashem, and Hashem supplies them with food because their parents have abandoned them. So therefore, a raven is always a symbol of being cruel to their children. So the raven should come, Shuach Zori, which is the symbol of cruelty, and knock out the guy's eye, and he won't have hanah from it. So, in other words, the person is acting in a cruel way, so therefore, he gets punished by the ravens, through the ravens. And the pasuk continues, and the sons of the young eagles will eat it, meaning, Yavin Nesher, Shuhu Rahman, vice versa. The eagle is the symbol of Rahmanus and its children. You have the famous thing, the eagle carries its young on its back, so they're not harmed by arrows. So, Yavin Nesher, Shuhu Rahman, let the eagle, which is the symbol of Rahmanus, come, and it will eat it and have hana from it. Meaning, in other words, that Hashem arranges that the ones who have Rahmanus, who are represented by the eagle, will have hana from such a person's nechasim, well, instead of he who acted in a cruel way like the ravens. So we're not referring to the actual eyes necessarily. We're saying he used because he acted in this way. Therefore, the result is that his resources end up getting taken away from the Achzorim and given to the Rahman. Yeah. By the way, Eitz Yosef points out, when you think about it, there's also a difference. Kibud Av Ve'em is tremendous rachman, especially when a person's parents are old and can't take care of themselves, and a person takes good care of them, that's tremendous rachman. On the other hand, Shiluach HaKan, on the surface, there's a certain achzorius in it. I mean, okay, you have, the Rambam and other Rishonim point out that, you know, there's the idea that at least you're sending away the mother before you're taking the babies, you're not taking them right in front of her. But on the other hand, and we have in the Bavli, we have the line, HaKan Sipo Yagir Rachamecha, but on the other hand, the Zohar points out that the mother bird is very pained by it. She comes back and she finds her nest empty, and in fact, she cries out, and that evokes Rachmin from Hashem on the Jewish people, because like the Shechina is in the same situation. Like, she comes back to her nest, the Beis Hamikdash, and it's empty. So therefore, there's a certain achzorius involved in Shiluach HaKan. So that's why the Gemara is mentioning them as, even though they have the same reward, in a way they're polar opposites, one being the ultimate Rachmin and the other being not really the ultimate achzorius, but a certain degree of achzorius in it. And therefore, the comparison is being drawn with the raven, who's the symbol of achzorius, versus the nesher, versus the eagle, which is the symbol of Rachmanus on its children.
Wait till the mother's not there and then go take care.
Yeah, let's say, for example, yeah. The Gemara continues further on this topic. Speaking of the rewards for mitzvahs, so we're saying these two mitzvahs, Kibud Av V'Em and Shiluach HaKohen, have the same reward. And when you think about it, another distinction between them, Kibud Av V'Em is very, very hard to do. We said before, Reb Zeira was glad in a way that he didn't have that mitzvah to do because it's so difficult and so forth. On the other hand, Shiluach HaKohen, there's almost nothing easier than that. And yet they have the same reward. So the Gemara says, Reb Acha B'Shem Reb Abba B'Kahana, the pasuk says, "Don't try to weigh phallus moshen pelus, which is a balance scale. So don't try to weigh the paths of life. No umagle seho loiseda. The circles, meaning the ways to go in it, have moved, and you won't know them." So that means tilta lakadosh baruch hu matan schar and shalosi mitzvahs. Hashem moved around and removed the schar of the mitzvahs from the world. Hashem doesn't tell us the schar of most mitzvahs. Kadesh yu oisin oisin ben munah, so that people do them out of trust in Hashem rather than they're going to do them for the reward. And here you have an example where an easy mitzvah and a difficult mitzvah both have the same schar. But ordinarily, most mitzvahs, it doesn't even say the schar by them. Then Rab Acha B'Shem Rab Yitzchak says, "Ksiv." You have another pasuk also in Mishlei, "Mikol Mishmar Netzer Libecha." Out of all the things that you would guard, watch over your heart. Ki Mimenu Toitzes Chaim, because from it are the outflows of life. That means Mikol Masha Omer B'Chava Torah Hishomer. Everything that you're told in the Torah, you have to guard and be careful about. So Mikol Mishmar, from all the things that you were commanded in the Torah to guard, Netzer Libecha. Guard your heart that it doesn't go the wrong way and start violating the mitzvahs. You never know which one of them life is going to come to you from, because again, you have every mitzvah has all mitzvahs are totzis chayim, but sometimes you have, like we said before, a person's particular mitzvah with which he's zoicha l'chaya and abba, and you never know which particular mitzvah that is for you. So therefore, be careful with all of them. Exactly that point. Hashem equated the easiest mitzvah, which is Shiluach HaKohen, with the mitzvah Chamura Shebachamuris, with the most difficult mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Mitzvah Kala Shebachalas is Shiluach HaKohen, and mitzvah Chamura Shebachamuris is Kibud Av V'Em. Kakos in the Talmud Shalonu, as the Gemara goes on to explain. And the point is, this way, you never know. And this way, every person would do all mitzvahs with tmimus and not think to himself, well, this mitzvah is bigger, so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to ignore the smaller mitzvahs, because you never know which really are the bigger and the smaller mitzvahs. I can pick it up. It's ain't after your day, matan schar and shal mitzvahs.
The negative mitzvahs, we know which are the strongest.
We know, right. When it comes to negative mitzvahs, we know this one has skila, this one has kares, etc. So therefore, we can sort of draw a distinction between one and the other. Mitzvahs, I say, are not like that. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, of Tess Shvat. The pasuk says, "Koyamar Hashem." This is what Hashem says: "Shimru Mishpat Asu Tzedaka, guard justice and do Tzedaka, ki Kriva Yishuasi Lave, because my saving is very close to come. But Tzikasi Lehigolis, and my Tzedaka is very close to being revealed." So what does that mean? La'asid Lave, it's going to be revealed how the Golus was really a concept of Tzedaka. Right now, we only have a munin in it. Chazal tell us that the Golos is tzedakah, osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Hashem did us a tzedakah, that he scattered us among the nations. So we believe that, because it says in the Gemara, but we don't really understand it with our seichel. When it comes to osid lavei, then we'll actually see, b'chush, then we'll actually see with our senses how the Golos was tzedakah, as the pasuk says, oy ha Hashem ki anachabi, I'll thank you Hashem that you were angry at me, meaning that osid lavei, the hidden good that was in the Yisurim of Golos will be revealed, and then we'll understand how is it that through them, Davka, the Jewish people was zeichah to the gilui of osid lavei. There's a famous letter that Rebbe wrote to a president of Israel in the mid-Yuds, where the official title of the president of Israel is Nasi Yisrael, and the Rebbe doesn't give him that title. And the Rebbe explains, this is the famous thing that Rebbe says, ever since I was a child, I've always been imagining and dreaming of the days of Mashiach, and Mashiach is the only one who deserves to be called Nasi. And he goes on to say that and thinking of that ultimately it'll be like the Rebbe is saying in these sichos over here, the time when we'll finally understand the Oid HaShem Ki Anach to be, and right now we don't have that, so therefore the Rebbe says to Ben Tzvi over there, I can't, with all due respect, I can't call you Nasi because that's a title that's reserved for Mashiach.
Even though there's a Nasi based in,
but still, okay, every Nasi is a Nitzutish or Yaakov Avinu, but not the president of the secular state of Israel. Okay, we started talking yesterday about the din of kedima in brachas, about which bracha goes ahead of the previous one. So we started saying yesterday that if you have two things that are the same bracha and one of them is more chaviv, one of them you like better, then you make the bracha on it. If both of them are equally chaviv, then if one of them is from the shivas aminim, then you make the bracha on it. And even if that one is only a half a fruit and the other ones are whole. However, again, the Alter Rebbe says, if the other ones are more chaviv, then you would say on whichever one you want. You don't daf after you have the shivas aminim, then it's still considered equal. If none of them are from shivas aminim, so now if one of them is whole and the other one is not, then you make the bracha on the whole one, and there we ignore chaviv for that purpose. Also, if they're different brachas, but one of them is ha'etz and one is ha'adamah, so then if one is chaviv, then you say the bracha on the chaviv. Otherwise, you say the one on the one of shivas aminim, even if it's only a half. And if none of them are shivas aminim, then the whole one comes first. If both of them are whole or both of them are cut, then ha'etz goes before ha'adamah.